We're just going to look at one phrase in one verse in Ephesians 5. It says, Ephesians 5:14, we're only going to really look at, focus on one phrase of that verse. And let me pray for us again while you finish finding that. Father, again, we just thank you that you've gathered us together here this morning, that we might worship you and be in your word. Father, now we ask that you would teach us and instruct us from your word. Well, this is a familiar passage, but I believe that you're showing me and us something new in this passage today. So, Lord, will you reveal to us what you want us to know and understand from this familiar passage this morning. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would cause doubt or confusion in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause one to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to come and to speak and to have your way here this morning. Amen. Again, we're going to be in Ephesians 5:14, just looking at one phrase of that verse. Several weeks ago, I gave a message called The Power of Life and Death. And in that message, I looked at the power of the tongue, the power of our words, and how much what we say and speak can have an influence in this spirit realm over our lives, to the point of life and death. Scripture actually says that our words carry the power of life and death. And at the beginning of that message, I said that I felt like I was just going to be sharing a lot of scriptures with you through that message. And it worked. Well, this message feels very similar. I feel like I'm just sharing a lot of scriptures with you based on this idea that the Lord showed me in this verse. Well, now I want to explain to you how I got to this message. So for a number of weeks, I had just been feeling so tired and weary and drained, just fatigued. Well, for me personally, I just blamed that on all of my health issues. I just blamed that on the stroke or the kidney stones or all of the many health issues I've had this year. But then I began to talk to more and more people, and I began to see a bit of a pattern. I talked to my friend Ed, who's a pastor in a church down in the Joliet area, and he talked about how he just felt this weariness and this fatigue and this heaviness, just this pressure over him. And he said that every morning he has to pray an extra 15 minutes to feel like he's come up to neutral before he can really begin his normal praying or his normal day. He felt like it required an extra 15 minutes of prayer to get out from underneath the heaviness and the weariness that he was feeling. And I thought, wow, if a guy like Ed feels that, no wonder I'm feeling tired. And then the one that really kind of grabbed my attention is my wife, Amy, took my mom to one of my mom's doctor's appointment. And the doctor started telling Amy, I just feel this unbelievable heaviness and this weariness and just this pressure and this fatigue on me. I mean, this is a doctor that's saying this. Oh, my gosh. And then many of you started saying the same things, that just feeling this constant weariness, this constant drain and heaviness and fatigue. And so one day I just sat with the Lord and I said, okay, what's going on? What's happening with this? Why is this happening? And I felt like the Lord led me just to this one phrase of this verse. Let's go ahead and put up, it's already up there. So this is 5:14. It says, this is why, I just said, no, that's not right. Oh, gosh. Something run amok there on us. Well, all right, Ephesians 5:14 says this, stand firm then and let the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place. All right, it's part of the armor of God passage that we know from Ephesians 5. I don't know what happened. 6:14, all right. 6:14, I'm sorry. I mean, I suppose I could preach on this one if you want, but I'm not really prepared for that as much. All right, Ephesians 6:14, part of the armor of God. But I want to focus on that part. It says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. I felt like what the Lord was showing me was that the breastplate of righteousness was the answer to our heaviness and our fatigue and our tiredness. As a people, as Christians, we have lost the protection of the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on all the other pieces of armor because I did a whole series on that last year and it's still on the website. Plus, I'm taking a very different approach to this today than what you would typically take on these pieces of armor. So again, just looking at that little phrase, the breastplate of righteousness in place. Again, I felt like the Lord was saying that this is the key to the weariness and the fatigue that so many people are feeling. Now, in the original Greek language, the verb to put on is repeated in the clause. The NIV just assumes that in its translation. But it could read, so having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the idea here is that we are the ones putting on the breastplate of righteousness. It's something that we do. It's a deliberate act, and I think that the Lord is inviting us into a season of revisiting this idea of putting on our breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate was a piece of armor made of leather or metal and protected the front of the soldier. It would be made of metal or wood, and then they would wrap it real tight in leather, and it obviously, as the name would apply, it hung over the front. But the soldier would not have had his own personal breastplate with his name on it. He would have worn a breastplate provided by the Roman government. It probably would have had the Roman insignia or even the name of Caesar on it. The righteousness that we are to put on is not our own righteousness, but that of Christ Jesus, right? We also see this idea in Isaiah 59:17, where it says, he put on righteousness as his breastplate. So let's ask two questions first. Why the position of the breastplate is so important over the heart, and why do we need to put this thing on? Again, in this whole verse, it says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So the first part of the armor was the truth, and it was truth in particular to our identity, as Paul is laying it out here in Ephesians 6. This was the answer to how to defend ourselves against the schemes of the enemy. Because one of the greatest ways the enemy attacks us is in our identity, right? So with the belt of truth, understanding who we are in Christ buckled on, then it goes into this breastplate. Because another way that the enemy loves to attack us is in terms of our righteousness. The enemy constantly is standing against us and attacking the God image in us and our righteousness. We put on the breastplate of righteousness as a defense against the enemy's attacks, as our identity as a child of God, right? But we have to remember that it's his righteousness, not our own. There's no way that I can make myself righteous. The insignia, or the logo, if you will, on our breastplate would be the cross of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness. I wouldn't wear anything on here that symbolized me. I am made righteous and cleansed by all my sin by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? Now, why over the heart? Well, obviously, in terms of physical armor, it's essential to life. If a soldier takes an arrow to the heart, he's probably dead. The armor was protecting the vital organ of the heart in this military scene. But in the spirit realm, it's a little bit different. The heart is the place of our affections. And where our affections go, there goes much of our time and our energy, right? Wherever we're putting our affections, that's where we're also putting all of our time and our energy. So because we've lost this protection of our breastplate over our spiritual heart, we're tired and are weary. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I know what some of you are already thinking. As soon as I read that little phrase, you're thinking, yes, those people that are different than us, they need to get righteous. Those people who don't vote like me, those people who don't think like me, their lack of righteousness is causing this. And I say no. I've even heard people pray recently, Lord, fix those other people. Make them like us. We must remember that those other people are created in the image of God just like we are, and that God loves them as much as he loves us. Now, I felt like what the Lord was saying to us, the people of God, we need to re-examine our own righteousness. That the church has taken her eyes and attention off of the righteousness of Jesus and instead focused on a counterfeit righteousness of activity, social justice, and even political activism. Those things might all be great, but we cannot have our focus there. We lose our breastplate of righteousness. Basically, the junk of this world is contaminating our hearts and polluting our affections, and so our time and our attention are being turned to things that are not Jesus. And it's wearing us out. We are bombarded with messages of fear, and it's getting past our breastplate. I want to show you something, and I do this trepidatiously because I don't know how true this is. Yeah, that picture that's in there. In the 1960s, the KBG did some fascinating psychological experiments. They learned that if you bombard human subjects with fear messages nonstop, In 2 months or less, most of the subjects are completely brainwashed to believe the false message, to the point that no amount of clear information they are shown to the contrary can change their mind. Does that sound like the day that we're living in? And the KBG was doing that so they could keep people under the thumb of socialism, communism. Now, the fear message is a little bit different, but we are constantly bombarded with that to the point of no longer knowing what to believe, right? The government is trying to become our breastplate. Think about it. Every politician running for office is saying, "Vote for me, I'll protect you." They're trying to become that breastplate of righteousness. They're trying to take our eyes off of Jesus. This is causing fatigue and weariness, and it's even affecting relationships. So what do we do? Well, we need to restore or to put on again the protective breastplate of righteousness. Remember, it's not our righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness, but we must be active in putting it on. Think of Superman getting into the phone booth and put on the cape and the suit. We got to put on our breastplate of righteousness. And there's no way I can make myself righteousness. I have to put on Jesus' righteousness. So now let's ask a quick question. What is righteousness? Well, for the way that I want to present it today, let me give you a very, very simple down definition of this. We are righteous when God the Father or people in general look upon us and all they see is Jesus. All right? That's it. When anybody, whether it's God the Father or anybody around us, they look upon us and all they see is Jesus, we're wearing his breastplate of righteousness because that's all they see. So as we restore the breastplate of righteousness, when any other spirit tries to attack us, they can't because all they see is Jesus and they can't touch Jesus. See, all these other spirits that are trying to attack us and are ringing about the weariness and the fatigue, those spirits can't touch Jesus. That's why we wear him like a breastplate, because then they can't touch us. And again, the insignia on our breastplate would be the cross of Jesus Christ. And we do this, again, to give ourselves protection against all these things that are coming against us and making us so weary and tired. Let me just stop and do a survey. Anyone here feeling weary, or tired in the day that we're living in? All right. And those of you who didn't raise your hands, you're probably lying. No, just kidding. So to restore the breastplate of righteousness, we need to think about this in two ways. First, what are some physical things that I can do to walk in righteousness? In other words, what are some physical things that I can do to put back on this breastplate of righteousness? And then second, how do we wear or reinstall Jesus' righteousness? Because ultimately it's his righteousness. So what are some physical things that I can do, physical realm stuff, and then what are some spiritual realm things I can do to wear that breastplate? Let's start with some physical things. First, I would suggest that we stay clear of all other messages, not buying into the messages of the world. Following Jesus and listening only to his voice. Here's the thing, any other voice that's not Jesus is probably demonic. Right? And those are the messages that we're being bombarded with. But they've gotten in behind our breastplate, and so now we're giving our affections over to these other messages. I think the Lord is giving us a radical call to refocus our lives solely on Jesus. Because I think for many of us, there's been too much focus on the election, too much focus on coronavirus, too much focus on financial situations, too much focus on technology. Arg! Our lives have become dominated by technology, right? Every day we're fighting with Zoom or we're fighting with some other piece of technology trying to live in this crazy world. Too much focus on situations we can't control. I hear people all the time just going on and on and on about a situation that they have no control over. Shh, stop. Don't do that. It's not helping you. It's wearing you out. Too much complaining, anger. I'm talking to people all the time. Like I had a couple of email conversations this week, some in-person conversations. Yeah, I'm just feeling so much anger. It just seems to come on me. This is all related. It's because we've lost the breastplate of righteousness and these other things are getting in behind us and are affecting our heart. Let's go to the Isaiah 26 passage, and gosh, I hope the rest of them are correct. Isaiah 26:3. The you is God, okay? God will keep you in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Who here would like some perfect peace? Anybody? If you didn't raise your hand, I don't know what's wrong with you. I think we all need some perfect peace right now, don't you? And the way we get perfect peace is by having a mind that is steadfast on the Lord. Right? That's one way we get that breastplate back on as our protection, is having a mind that is steadfast on the Lord. Go to the next slide there with the 1 Peter. Again, this is all, how do we refocus, a radical refocus onto Jesus and his ways. 1 Peter 3:10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Anyone here want some good days? And to be able to love life again? Some easy keys here for us. Keep our lips from deceitful speech. Keep our lips and our keyboards. Right? Because we'll type stuff and text stuff that we would never say. And when we do this, go to the next slide. I think there's verse 11 in there too. Nope, maybe not. Verse 11 says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. The eyes of the Lord are on those who are righteous. So not only do we reinstall our breastplate, but the Lord is looking out for us. He's hearing our prayers and he's answering our prayers when we walk in these ways. When we keep our lips and our speech from evil and we pursue good and we seek peace. Think about all of the, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, think of all of the cavalier comments that you've made about people that think differently than you. Maybe particularly politically. All those rotten son of a guns who vote this way. Right? We lose our breastplate of righteousness when we speak that way. If we follow this simple prescription of the of this passage in 1 Peter, the eyes of the Lord are upon us and he hears our prayers. But can we keep our speech and our texting and our fingers from evil ways and evil speech? Can we actively seek to do good in these days that we live in? And then Psalm 23:3. We looked at Psalm 23 last week for communion. Psalm 23:3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus came to defeat the enemy and to restore our soul. And then he says he leads us into paths of righteousness. Now the word in Hebrew that is often translated as restore actually means life or breath. The image is of someone who has almost stopped breathing and is revived or brought back to life. Who feels like that right now, like you're gasping for your last breath in the world that we live in? Jesus comes to restore and to revive us, to revive our breath. But then he leads us, so we must allow him to lead us into these paths of righteousness. We cannot resist or ignore his leadings. What's interesting is in this verse it says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. His namesake is referring to the fact that when people see our good works, they will glorify God. This is why God leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake, so that people will glorify his name as they see us doing his good works. So we've got to allow Jesus to lead us into the good works so that he can be glorified through us. And in doing that, it restores our breastplate of righteousness. It's basically the same idea from the 1 Peter 3:11 that we just looked at. Unfortunately, 11 wasn't on the screen, but you got it? All right. That one wasn't me. All right. Another thing that we can do, again, I'm talking about physical things that we can do to restore this breastplate. Excuse me one minute here. Is immerse ourselves in Scripture. Just immerse ourselves in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in what? Righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pour in this season that we're in, as a way to fight against this weariness and fatigue, pour yourselves into Scripture. I know a lot of you are thinking, boring. Well, do you want to continue to live under the weariness and the fatigue, or do you want a way out? Pour yourself into Scripture. hearing truth instead of the lies and the fantasies of the world that we live in. Even use audio Bible. Dave used to talk to me all the time about audio Bible. And when I sit at my desk and work, I used to always have worship music playing, which is great. And I still love that. But lately, the last several weeks, I've had the audio Bible playing all day long. And just constantly hearing the Word of God in the background has been really amazing. I would encourage you to do it. Just listen to the audio Bible all the time, as much as you can. That Word of God is getting into you, and it's restoring and reestablishing that breastplate of righteousness. It actually recalibrates our thinking and our brain to come back into alignment with the kingdom of God. Think about it. We don't have any problem listening to CNN all day long, right? Why wouldn't we want to listen to the Word of God all day long and allow ourselves to be recalibrated back into alignment with Him and then restore that breastplate of righteousness? Another thing we can do is discern what the Lord might be doing in us. Hebrews 12. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have trained by it. Again, who's looking for some peace in their life? Has the Lord had you in a season of discipline to bring us back into alignment with Him? Maybe some of the really hard things that we've been going through, God's trying to get our attention and calling us back to this radical refocus on Him and allow His discipline to train us back into a place of righteousness and peace. So maybe there's some things that we need to deal with in our own life related to what the Lord might be doing in us. And so it's a discerning process of, Lord, what are you doing? Has my season of weariness and tired been actually a place that you've brought me to allow me to be refocused by you? One more I'll add is reestablishing regular church attendance. This COVID world we live in has thrown everyone's church attendance off. I know there's quite a few people here today that are actually from another church, but they came here because their other church isn't open yet. Whatever, just get back into some kind of regular church attendance. It reestablishes that breastplate over us. There's something about coming together, and I could have put a scripture up there from Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering together. But there's something about gathering together with the people that helps all of us reestablish that breastplate of our righteousness and will eliminate the fatigue and the weariness. Now, none of these actions by themselves will stop the weariness, but they will, again, help to restore the breastplate of righteousness, which is our protection, and stop the attacks of the enemy on our strength that's wearing us out. Now, I remember I said there was two things. There were some physical things that we were going to look at to do, and I just mentioned those. And then there's the spiritual things that we can do. The physical things was a radical refocus on Jesus, immersing ourselves in Scripture, discerning what the Lord might be doing in us. Now let's look at some spiritual things that we can do. First is repentance. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I think there's a place of repentance here for having given so much of our attention to other things. Simply repenting that I've focused too much on whatever it might be, too much on coronavirus, too much on the election, too much on financial issues, and just saying, Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm putting my focus back on you, please forgive me. And then He cleanses us from that unrighteousness so that our righteous breastplate can be restored. Then the next thing that we can do in the spirit realm is prayer. James 5:14, and I'm gonna wreck some people's traditions here, and that's okay. I don't mind doing that. It's not about tradition, it's about Jesus, and it's about getting right understanding, right? James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Here's what's really interesting. So when you look up this verse, go back for me. When you look up this verse and you get, it says, anyone among you sick, and you look up this verse in the Greek and you get to where that word sick is in the Greek, and then you look up that word in a Greek lexicon, it means to be weak, feeble, without strength, or powerless. Listen to those again, and then think about how many of us are feeling right now. To be weak, feeble, without strength, or powerless. Is anyone among you feeling weak? He should pray. Now, with this understanding of this word, it changes how we view the rest of the passage. Suddenly, it's not about getting the elders to pray for healing. It's actually about the elders transferring the power and anointing they had to others. And the oil, it's not this magic thing where, okay, you get anointed with oil and it's magically and you're healed. I've seen people put so much faith in the oil, they'll steal some guy's anointing oil. The anointing, think about it this way. In the Old Testament, when someone was about to be coronated king, they anointed them with oil. We just looked at that passage in 1 Samuel 9 a few weeks ago, chasing the donkeys. Remember that? The oil was a sign of God's power and provision coming on that person to be made king. That's the imagery here. It's not, oh, I've anointed you with oil, now you're healed. It's about, I'm putting power and anointing on you with this oil. This is how we coronate kings. So the whole vision here is, if any one of you are weak, feeble, or powerless, have them pray over you and anoint you with oil. It's about reestablishing power and strength. It's about impartation of the Lord's power into us. Again, it was about the elders of their day transferring the power and the anointing that they had to others. So it's about impartation and strength. Even in our days, it's not about the elders doing all the work, because guess what? The elders are weary and tired too. I believe that the Lord is calling all of us to a season of prayer, praying that the Lord would impart to each of us His power and strength. It's no longer just about the elders. The days of most people sitting on the sidelines and just a few people doing all the work, those days are ending. Thank God. We regain our ability to have protection of the breastplate of righteousness as we pray for each other through the impartation of strength. This is a call for everyone, not just the elders, to enter into a season of prayer to re-strengthen the church. Then James 5:15. And the prayer of faith shall save the distressed one, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he sins, any sins he may have committed, they shall be forgiven. Now, I believe that was the YLT up there. Let me read it to you in the NIV. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, but that word is again the word weary. And the prayer of faith will make the weary person well. The Lord will raise them up. The whole picture here is about a person who has been made weak or feeble, being raised back up into strength. That's the whole image of these two verses here. And so that's why I believe the Lord is calling us into a season of praying for each other, that we would be raised back up into strength. Do you see that? We need to commit to praying for each other, that again, that the Lord will strengthen us, strengthen our anointing, and raise us back up into a place of power and strength. And this is where we also need the seers and the prophets to instruct us and help us understand how we can pray into that, what that looks like. But again, I believe that the Lord is calling us back into a radical place of recommitting our focus to Him to restore the breastplate of righteousness as a way of breaking the weariness and the fatigue and the feebleness that we're all feeling. Because remember, God is over our striving. God is over our sleep. God is over our struggle. God is over our work. God is over our rest. God is over our future. God is over our history. God is over our family, our people, and our land. And as we lift Him up, He lifts us up. Amen? I want to end today by just reading Romans 15:13 over you as a benediction, and then we'll have the worship team come back up. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What's that? Read that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.